Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Express yourself.
Hear that? Can they hear me?
Welcome to the show. We had like a minor technical difficulty there. Not sure what was going on, but we are back on track, and it's May 22nd, Friday, and we're ready for Talkline, ready for your calls, your emails. I'm Diane McGachran. Grady's saying something, but I don't know what it is because he's in the booth. I have no idea, but we're just going to proceed. Maybe turn the sound. Go ahead and turn the song off there in the background, Grady. That'd be great. Okay, and I'm going to give out the numbers here. Welcome to the show, everyone. Here in Bethel, it started out spectacular, and it's probably going to be a great day anyway, but it looks like it's starting to get a little more overcast. The numbers to call us here are 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 800-995-8954, and you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. We'll read your emails over the air. You can be anonymous for either your calls or your emails. And it's a Memorial Day weekend, so I think there's going to be some activities, but probably modified, even though today I think the state is opening everything back up again. And I think that means going to restaurants. I believe the cabs are going to return to their other pre-pandemic rates. And so I think there should be some changes with that, although I'm not entirely sure. But I think that's what the news was. So, so why don't you give us a call on what's going on this weekend for you or anything else you have on your mind? How are things going with, we've been in some kind of response to the COVID-19, the virus. We've had different kinds of responses to that for the past couple of months. A lot of people have been trying to work from home, which is complicated and can be kind of frustrating because your children are at home and maybe your pets are at home and you're trying to work and be somewhat professional, and there's all kinds of things going on. It's hard to do that sometimes, make a transition from your office environment back to your home environment, and your home doesn't really feel like a work place, but yet you have to be in your work mindset. So that can be actually more tiring than if you had your office to go to. So you can come call in and talk about that, some of the frustrations you might have had with that. And also it's a great time for subsistence because now we have birds. The smelts came. People have been getting smelts the past few days here in Bethel. And I was really thrilled because I got a call. Do you want some smelts? And yes, I do. And then and my roommate, she prepared them and did a beautiful job, fried them up whole in some batter. Awesome. Anyway, I'm going to go right to our first caller here. That's Susan from Bethel. Good morning, Susan. Welcome to Talkline.
I've never been the first caller before.
No, congratulations.
Maybe those others are sleeping in. Okay, I just was going to let you know, I know things are opening up like in Anchorage and statewide, but we're slowing things down out here. And as far as the annual Memorial Day gravesite and hot dog deal, that's not happening this year. It's just not safe to just all of a sudden throw into a crowd situation like that, was the consensus. So,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But, you know, people can still spruce up their the grave sites and the loved ones and all that. I mean, Memorial Day is Memorial Day. I do see and hear on the national news and stuff things opening up, so scary for me. And we'll see if there's a spike after the three-day weekend. That's just kind of how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
We still need to be aware of this virus and masks and social distancing and washing hands and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So important not to let our guard down. Our state fortunately has kept things low, and that's really good, and we're probably safer here than anywhere else in the nation right now as far as this virus goes. So I just want to let people know that the war isn't over on this until there's a reliable treatment or vaccine or whatever. This is our normal. This is as good as it gets right now. We really just need to be really careful
mm-hmm.
about things. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Susan.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah, Memorial Day weekend, we're not going to be able to have quite the gathering that we have had in years past, but I think there's other activities that people might be doing that I'm not aware of, though. So the bus is going to start up I think there was an email about it, but I don't see the email. But, Grady, will you just read that email?
The Bethel City Transit bus will start up on May 26, 2020, and will operate Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. to 6:15 p.m. All passengers must wear a face mask or face covering. The driver has a right to refuse a passenger that does not have one. The bus will not operate on Saturdays. No fare will be charged for the month of May, but bus fare will start June 1st, 2020. Adult fare is $3 per trip, youth fare is $2 per trip, and senior fare is $1 per trip. The bus will stop at the post office, bus stop sign, to let passengers on or off the bus, but will not wait for passengers to get their mail. Monthly passes, adults $60, youth $30, and seniors $25. These are available if requested the day before. Monthly passes go from the first day of the month to the last day of the month. $5 day passes are available for all passengers, adult, youth, seniors, from the driver. Seniors 75 years of age or older are eligible for yearly passes. They need to provide the driver with their name, date of birth, and the transit manager needs to take their picture. A yearly pass will be made, and the driver will give them in 3 or 4 days. That's from the city manager, or from the city, rather.
Oh, okay. And I have a Tundra Drums announcement that the ONC offices are closed Friday and Monday. That's today and Monday. There will be no senior lunch delivery on Monday. ONC will reopen on Tuesday. Have a great Memorial Day weekend from the ONC staff. Thank you for that. And, yeah, okay. So our lines are open, and you're welcome to call in. The numbers are 543-5985, 543-2756, and anywhere in the United States, you can dial 800-995-8954. And I'm going to go right to a caller from Antioch that you might be familiar with. His name is Herman. Good morning, Herman. Welcome to TalkLine.
I could be anonymous, huh?
Well, I didn't know. You didn't ask to be, did you? Don't tease.
No,
he's teasing
right.
us. Okay. Thank you.
The last time I was anonymous and you said my name.
I know. I don't like to get you mad, so I don't want to miss out on that. All right. So what's on your mind?
I was going to give an update on what's going on in Kalskig. We called the village council, the city council. We called ADE, Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. We called Village Safe Water. And it seemed like they're still going to allow them to pump it out after the Smiths pass, which is a good thing because ANIAC wanted to go fish down for Smiths last year, but they're afraid that they might get sick from that sewer. It's kind of weird because when I talked to that person at Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation who had given their permit, they say, it's safe. But then they tell me, be sure you wash your fish out really good to take off any contaminants. And I found that kind of strange. And they say it's not up to them to do anything about Kalskag having to pump their overflow into the river. It's up to the Kalskag City Council. They're the ones who have to apply for a new grant to build a new lagoon, so they don't have to do that. So it's up. I hope they do, because they built that lagoon on top of ice shelf, and they say it filled up with water, snow melt, and they have to pump it out. But last week, they were pumping sewer from other parts down into the lagoon to make it fuller. And I told that the mayor and the people at AADC, you know, I'm not going to speak on this anymore. I'm tired of this. I'll just wait maybe a week or 2 weeks after they pump it out before I go fish for king salmon. If you go to ANIAC announcements on Facebook, you'll read about it, what's going on. You know, they say it's safe, but if you could smell that stuff in Lower Kalskag when people are fishing and the director tells us to wash the fish out really good, you know, it's not good. And if you go and talk to Vanguard, there's a lot of minnows, a lot of little baby salmon swimming in the water. And you can, if that sewer stuff's in the water, you know, it could be affecting them too. Maybe that's why we're losing our fish or hurting our fish. And those small stay later, eggs are there right now, but I think I'm done trying to, you know, help the people. You know, seem like they should get a new lagoon, and because it could be hurting us. And another thing I was talking about, this is for Ray, who makes the decision on whether we can fish or not. You know, in their zeal to protect the king salmon, they might be hurting our red salmon and other fish. Because the red salmon are getting too many. They should let people fish at 6-inch less of staggered times to harvest some of the red salmon. In this time right now, we need those fish. We got to put food away for the winter. And I think, Ray, you should be a little more considerate of our way of life, how we've always fished this river. You should be concerned about what's being pumped into our river instead of only concentrating on king salmon. You know, lately, in the past few years, we started to see these, some kind of white, clear worms in the red salmon. They used to have a lot of, they used to have tapeworms and other kind of worms, but there's different kind of worms now. And there's a study, you got to be careful. Wear rubber gloves when you walk. Not all of the red salmon have that, but few. But be careful when you're cutting red salmon. Make sure that you don't see those kind of clear. They're like half an inch. Wear gloves. And when you hang your silver salmon, you could see them coming out of the meat. They're in the meat. And, you know, we care about our way of life. And some people don't like people not considering us who depend on the fish and what's happening to them. They're going to start thinking about us and our way of life. You know, what we're trying to feed our families. But go to ANIAC announcements and you'll see what's going on, how people are talking about that overflow lagoon being pumped in the river for 2 weeks. And somebody say, oh, Clendon people below Carlsbad, you know, and maybe even Bethel that's happening. But we got to do something to have them build a different system where they don't have to. They don't have to pump that stuff into the river.
Oh.
Last thing I want to talk about is don't vote for our two lawmakers right now. They're trying to make us happy by saying they're going to give us dividend in July. But it's only going to be $1,000. That probably means they're not going to give us nothing in October. People are saying they're just doing that to make us happy. And they're spending all this money. And if they do it right, we could have a lot of money to help us buy snow machine, boat, and motor. But please consider who you're voting. Oh, one last thing. If you're a Democrat, you better go change it. Go to your election office or change your... Go to being independent. Because the Democrats' party, they don't really care about us.
Okay.
They care about their special interests and non-profits and things like that. But go change your party affiliation to independent.
Okay.
And those are my words. I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm tired of trying to help people. I'm not trying to hurt nobody.
Hmm.
I'm not trying to go to ANIAC announcements. I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'm trying to help people who need the fish. And those are my comments. I don't have radio right now, so I can't hear anything. But I'd like people to know, because I've been speaking about the sewer being pumped into the river
okay.
and how it's hurting us.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, guys. Bye.
Okay, thank you, Herman. Bye. All right, we have Mary on the phone. I'm not sure. Hello.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning.
I absolutely agree with everything the first speaker, everything he said. I was wondering if that's Uncle Ron Hoffman. You know, it's against the rules worldwide to pump contaminated anything into the rivers, even into the sluice. The so-called the American scientists believe that when they do that, it just stays there. They're terribly, terribly wrong when they think that and believe that, because the contaminants that wash out from the dump areas, they don't stay there. They go all over. They even evaporate into the air. They affect the plants. They affect all the fish and sea mammals all over. I just can never understand why people do not think that contaminants in the north and in the south, and we are in the north, they don't go away, they stay there. And with each contamination, with each oil spill, illegal dumping of their urine and fecal matter, they're contaminating everything more. And that really isn't good for us. And I've been like cutting fish, even the fish from last year, and the smelts. And when I look, I see like worms that shouldn't be there. And this is why I suggest that whenever we cook the fish for sustenance, that we boil them long enough to kill everything. But I get so disgusted and I spill everything out. I have always had that tendency. And it's very, very important to wash the fish when it's first caught, and when in our homes we should wash it. Like, I wash my fish over and over and over again. And that's the best thing, because a lot of us, we already have serious medical problems that we had inherited from way, way back. And those things are not helpful to us. And also we're given pharmaceutical drugs that really do more damage to our already existing serious medical problems. Like, I've always taken pride in myself and in all the Native peoples that were able to remember everything. But at my age, I shouldn't be forgetful. But I blame that on the Western scientific medications, because when I take those things, I get forgetful. And that bothers the heck out of me. And a lot of times my tricks that have always worked don't always work. Like when I'm looking for a word, it's at the tip of my mouth, I go really fast, I go A, B, C, D. As soon as I hit the first letter, I'll remember the word, or I'll go backwards from A to C, then from C to B. And I wish that the Western scientists would really listen to us people. And I've said this so many times, but I'm saying it again. We really never learn anything new from their supposed educational teachings. However, they learn a lot from us. Okay. This is why I believe that we should all work together, because we both have enough knowledge to work together, you know, mm-hmm. and not only that, but be teaching that at the schools, at the okay. churches, everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mary,
and even mm. yes.
Oh, okay. I was just going to thank you for calling, and if you had a few more things to say, we need to wrap up and
okay.
move on to the, to another caller. But
right.
is there
thank
something
you
else?
For-
okay.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
I'm so glad you called, Mary. I haven't heard from you in a long time. It's good to
yeah,
hear your voice.
So.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Have a good day. Good morning.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to Ray Bourne from Fish and Wildlife. Good morning, Ray. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you for the calls from Herman and from Mary. I'm listening to what they have to say, and it's, I always learn a lot by listening to these call-ins every week, so I think that's real valuable.
Nice.
That's, I really appreciate that feedback. It's interesting to hear what other people have to say throughout the Delta. I'll probably start with the simple things, right, and then I'll go to Cusco Fish is kind of the last thing.
Yeah.
So the 30-day closure on waterfowl is going to start on May 29th. So I sent a news release out. It's posted on our web page and our Facebook page, and I sent one to KYUK and all that. But basically, the waterfowl closure will start on May 29th through June 29th. And this is an annual 30-day closure we do to protect, you know, birds that are nesting and eggs and that sort of thing. There's also a special closure for black brent that extends through July 11th. So this is kind of that time to allow these birds to reproduce and to have future generations of waterfowl coming back to the deltas. So that's kind of the first thing. That's kind of the annual closure. The second thing I want to talk about, the Fish and Wildlife Service offices will remain closed. We're talking about how we will safely open our offices into the future, but we're not identifying any time yet, and I will probably have more information next week. However, all the Fish and Wildlife Service staff are working from home or teleworking, so we are available via email, or you can reach out to our phone numbers and then contact us that way as well. And our main phone number, 907-543-3151, is being monitored, and somebody should be able to answer that phone or get a message if you want to call into our main number as well.
Okay.
So, Cusco Fish. So, the set net opportunities will be starting in early June, so we'll have openers on June 3, 6, and 9. Next week, we'll be announcing the actual times. I want people to be kind of heads up on thinking about what the set net opportunities will be. Similar to what the net sizes are going to be the same thing that Customer Salmon Management Working Group put together and the state published for the 60-foot set nets, bank orientation, you know, all of those same agreements. So the times we're working with, of course, the Customer River Salmon Management Working Group, Customer River and Tribal Fish Commission, State of Alaska, and regional advisory councils to come up with these fishing opportunities. However, the run size does look to be great. I think it'll be a good size, but we'll see more of that coming up. And I did see a Facebook post of two Chinook harvested down by Eek yesterday, so the Chinook are coming back.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. That's good to hear. And I had a question, you know, now, right now, people are doing mm-hmm. a lot of egg hunting and getting mm-hmm. duck eggs and different bird eggs. When the closure happens, and do the ducks lay more eggs after people have taken the eggs out of their nest when they come back and there's no eggs there? Do they generate more eggs?
No, that's kind of one of the concerns that we have is most of the ducks do not generate more eggs. So don't take all the eggs out of the nest, you know. Leave a few, you know, take some, by all means, take some, but leave a few so they can reproduce again.
Yeah, I know down south there's a bird that the clinket can take. If the bird comes back to the nest and there's only one egg, it will produce another egg, but if there's two eggs, it won't. And I don't know, there's a really cool knowledge thing about that, but that's a different bird altogether. It's not these birds up here.
Yeah.
But okay. Well, thank you, Ray, for the update on various things. Appreciate it.
Great. And I'll get back to everybody on your Herman's question about the worms and the red salmon, I'll talk with my biologist and get some more information and provide that next week.
Yeah, yeah, because I've heard some people have posted actually also some pictures of worms that they thought were a little bit much in their smelt.
Yeah, and I'm concerned about that, and you know the COVID-19 concerns and food security concerns. So I'm definitely paying attention to all of that. Great, thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. And we're going to go to a break, a short break. You're listening to Talkline on 640 AM.
Mount Edgecombe High School is accepting applications for fall enrollment through July 1st. Required information must be requested from your school or district office prior to closing for the summer, so don't wait. Applications available at www.mehs.us.
Jangajit. Jatmatum nasini jabhna kaksutung pilhatni. Domen chalarit kakun aulukiu. Nasuyaru chakunaku umyohpitsu aulukska. Kanshut ksukuna suwik mnijalilra nasunrit vzarekuvt. Paksukuhealthcare.gov. Hosukayaga uluku 1-800-318-2596. Unakingunang katukugunag Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Washing your hands is an important part of preventing the spread of illness, including COVID-19. If your home or community does not have running water, you likely cannot wash your hands with the recommended soap and water. There are a number of effective ways to clean your hands when water is limited, including hand sanitizer and diluted bleach solutions. Visit www.ykhc.org/COVID-19 for alternative hand-washing methods and for the latest news from YKHC regarding the novel coronavirus, COVID-19. If you have symptoms like a cough, fever, or shortness of breath and think you have the virus, do not go to your village clinic and do not go to the emergency room in Bethel. Instead, call your village clinic or in Bethel, call 543-6949. This message brought to you by YKHC and KYUK.
Jangajit. Jatmatum nasini jabhna kaksutung pilhatni. Domen chalrit kakun aulukiu. Nasuyaru chakunaku umyohpitsu aulukska. Kanshut ksukunau suwik mnijalilra nasunrit vzarekuvt. Paksukuhealthcare.gov. Hosukayaga uluku 1-800-318-2596. Unakingunang katukugunag Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
When did you last wash your hands? Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds before you eat, after using the restroom, and before and after being in contact with someone who is sick. If you are sick, it is important to stay home to prevent others getting sick. Everyone should avoid shaking hands. Stay up to date by visiting ykhc.org/COVID-19. That's ykhc.org/COVID-19. If you have symptoms like a cough, fever, or shortness of breath and think you have the virus, do not go to your village clinic and do not go to the emergency room in Bethel. Instead, call your village clinic or in Bethel, call 543-6949. This message brought to you by YKHC and KYUK.
Everyone, thank you for joining us again. We're going to go right to Cesari, who's been holding. Thank you for waiting, Cesari.
Yeah, good morning. And I listen that voice is something when I hear with yours break. What they have restroom to COVID-19? Wash your hands. You're supposed to wash your hands.
Oh,
all the
I forgot. I forgot to tell people to wash their hands during the break.
Yeah, you
okay.
See, no,
yes.
But the gentleman on from YKT message is wash your hands after using the restroom. What because the COVID-19? What the COVID-19 have to restroom? You have to wash your hands anyway coming out from restroom. They don't have any sense in there. But anyway, I'm calling other thing about that fish and polluting river. that is announced, they're going for 3 weeks. This church, millions gallons sewer to sewer lagoon been cleaning up, and treated sewer lagoon. They're putting a bunch of chemicals to kill the germs and what they call the sicknesses, but killing the germs, they call killing the fish also. You know, fish exposed to those chemicals. They needed four manicure or more. They're causing damage on the species. Human, we smell it. Manicure in cubic yard is 1,000 or more. We start smelling in cubic yard air. In water, same thing in water. With this affect us if it's more like 1,000 cubic and on 1 cubic yard, 1,000 manicure. On fish, they needed only four. And that make it effect on them. Right now, there is no spawning fish. But full time when they're coming, little spawning fish coming up after they develop the eggs and coming down to ocean, and you just dump it 10 million or more sewer lagoon, the effect on them. They do affect. And I not feel comfortable eating that fish from river when they dump it all a bunch of 10 or 20 million gallon sewer lagoon, treated or not treated. Every 3-4 years, city, when it was Sullivan in here, there was a representative of city been asking to millions dollars for upgrading the lagoon. I was on that meeting and I told them, why this wasting the money? Why you know build treatment, sewer treatment facility, and you don't have to every 3-4 years asking for another $3-4 million for upgrade the lagoon? They have no any sense, you know, with 15 years, the money would be wasting to upgrading with a beautiful facility would be treat and the water be clean. And when you're smelling sometime on the ptarmigan and Ridgecrest, this really strong sewer, when they're dumping out to the river,
yeah,
you know, that manicure, that what I'm talking, they're going to your system anyway. This like you put your nose to the toilet, you know. They're going, that smell, that is really manicures, what is 1,000 or more in the cubic yard there. And we start smelling that because it's too concentrated, too strong. But for the fish, they need only four of them would affect that thing. And about the sciences, what I call last year, you know, you have two sciences always and two doctors. One to supporting one side liberals, another one with the supporting Republicans, or Democrats and Republicans. One scientist be saying they've been really noisy for many years. Polar bear disappear, polar bear disappear. We have warm up, ice melted, and we find out actually the popular polar bear increase for 30%.
Okay.
And they quit talking about that. You have two doctors, two scientists, every each one be conflict interest with those who they're talking. And who is right? I don't know. But you always have two opinions. One of them saying this way, another one saying this way. If the scientists see the money coming from the liberals, hey, I'm going to support you. Come on, give us some more money. But with this, that is natural. Everything is about the money. It's not about the common sense and really facts. So, okay, I'm now kind of feel better.
Do you feel better?
I feel better.
Okay.
I watch the barge coming out in here. I'm making some good pictures.
Oh, the barge! The barge arrival is all. It's like Santa Claus in a way for us,
yeah,
for us adults.
Beautiful,
it's fascinating.
Sun rising and that barge coming in. I'm making nice pictures, and I'm ready for a long weekend. And my barbecue getting ready, and happy hours, maybe start a little early. So have a good day. Enjoy the Memorial Day and
okay.
Enjoy the weather.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, good. You too. All right. We have Howard from Bethel. Good morning, Howard. Welcome to Talkline.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
And hey, I was looking at listening to the news last week, and they were talking about the sewer going into the ocean. You know, all these big cities along the coastlines. A lot of the sewer was going into the waters, you know, and so they figured that maybe all that salt would dissolve all the contaminants there. But we got so much people in this world right now. We got garbage all over the place and whatever else is leaking into the oceans. We got to look at something totally different now, because we got a lot of people in this world, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe this is how we have this kind of up, because it's we've got so many people there. And maybe we need another, or China needs, and the Orients need to be considering about having maybe no kids or one kid, you know.
Who should not have more kids?
The Orient.
Are you talking about Asian people?
Yes, because there is a lot of people there.
Okay.
And they are coming to America. I'm using that word in a sense because trying to bring up a better, you know.
Well, I think
understanding of this.
Yeah, you might want to just be careful of the terminology. Well, is Asian, not that other term you use. It's Asian.
Know, it's the same with and Europeans. You know, there's a lot of Europeans come to America too. You know.
Okay.
And we don't have native our way. We don't have a lot of people in the billions. You know, we're only in the millions. You know.
Oh, you mean? Oh, you're talking about world different populations,
mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
There are some very high populations of different peoples. And no, there are not a billion Yupik people on Earth.
No, that's what I said.
That's true. Yes.
No, so maybe somebody needs to do the study on human reproduction or something.
Uh huh.
So we'd get control of this food problems, shortage of housing, sewer, sickness flowing all over the world. You know, this is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like that guy in Aniak, he said that village is dumping sewage right into the river.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been doing it for years, you know.
Yes.
We're not the only one who'll be getting it. He'll be eating it too, you know, just like us. And then themselves, you know.
Yeah.
Look at the Germans. They were probably the first people that made the plants grow with their own waste. And for their pets, I mean their what they call like farm stuff, you know, like rabbits and chickens, uh-huh. And you know, whatever else, you know.
Yeah.
But you know.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Howard. All right. Kind of various kinds of ideas embedded in there. We've got an email that I'm going to read from Anonymous. And the email goes like this. This morning, a white truck with exempt tags on purpose held up traffic driving really slow from Watson's Corner to YK. Vehicles in front of that truck were long gone down the highway while we were stuck behind this idiot. Be more considerate of others, otherwise stay home. Also, a Cusco cab, new driver, went zooming by while I was on the crosswalk for pedestrians. I don't know if I had the right of way, but the drivers need to concentrate on driving instead of being lost in their own little worlds. Mind you, I flipped the driver as he went by. Now, see, that's the end of the email. Grady, should I be reading flipped? Should I be reading that?
I just don't know.
Okay. I don't know either.
Can't be any worse than me playing I Like Beer at the beginning of the song.
Right, yes. So we had a very interesting song to start us off on the show. But anyhow, that's traffic on the highway. And now I'm going to go to another email. And the email goes like this. I'm going to start the email now. I had an unpleasant surprise at the AC store last week when trying to buy a sale item, 2 for $9. Well, I only needed one, so that would be $4.50, I thought. But when it came up on the register, the item was charged at its regular non-sale price of $6.39. I told the clerk that this was wrong, that it was on sale. She summoned a manager who told me, no, I had to buy two to get the sale price. I told her that AC had always honored the multiple item sale price for single items. She replied that with their new system, they could no longer do that. I had to buy two. So I bought none and left. Of course, AC can set whatever policy it wishes, and as an informed consumer, I can choose to buy or not buy. But shoppers should be aware of this change in sale pricing at the store. It's easy to get distracted and not notice that a higher than expected price had been charged at the register. In these days of economic distress, it's more important than ever to be informed and prudent consumer by anonymous. And so it looks like we have another caller, anonymous. Okay.
No, I'm not. I'm just playing around.
Oh, now it's Herman. Okay. Well, everyone knows your voice by now. It'd be hard for you to be anonymous.
I know. Just one last thing I was going to say.
Okay.
You people are concerned about Missouri River. Please don't call the mayor, you know. Please don't call the mayor. I was going to tell you, you can call the city office, 471-2220, but don't call the mayor. And I didn't hear what Ray had to say, but I hope that he considered how maybe the red salmon are getting too many, and they should let us harvest some of them and give us an opportunity. And maybe he could help with this problem about a river being contaminated, but that's the last thing I was going to say. Please don't call the mayor. Call the city office or something. But anyhow, that's all I have to say, and enjoy a week with you guys, and with this restrictions being lifted, hopefully things will come back to normal. Okay, thank you, Dad.
Okay, thank you. So one thing I wondered about when people are talking about the sewage lagoon, the sewage being the waste water being discharged into the river, I think it's treated first. So I would imagine that even upriver in Kalskag, before it is allowed into the river, it's treated. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily good or bad, but I think it has been treated so that it's no longer a contaminant. So it's not raw sewage, I should say. Now, here in Bethel, you can tell when it's happening because the smell is very powerful. Especially if you live near 7th Avenue like I do. So I live near the sewage lagoon. Although, now, on a good note, a positive note about the sewage lagoon, it's a good place to go bird watching. Yeah. And you can see all kinds of different ducks there. And but you want to go on a windy day when the smell won't overwhelm you. But I have to admit, I and some other bird watchers I know who will remain anonymous right now, we have sometimes gone over to the sewage lagoon to see what birds are swimming around in there. So there you have it. yeah, Grady?
The thing that I keep sticking with me, though, that I keep hearing from Herman's comments last year and this year is I think he wants the villages just upriver of other villages to cease operations just during important runs.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. So, let's see. I'm sorry. I thought there was an email, but there's not. The lines are open. I'm going to give you our numbers real quick. 543-5985. 2756. And 1-800-995-8954. And we have a caller from Bethel, Paul. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning. Are you guys talking about anything?
We're talking about anything.
Oh.
And everything.
Okay.
Whatever you want us to talk about.
My grandson, he got picked up and beat up, manhandled. This was this past Wednesday by a young native cop, Bethel cop. They had brought him to ER because of the injury that police did to him. And I think I'll call that young native cop super cop. He likes to beat up juveniles because they might be too strong for him, you know. The super cop likes to beat up young people. That's what I think. I hope that chief police is listening. I want to hear what he's got to say. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Paul. I think if anyone has a problem with the police, they can call the police station, talk to the commander or the head police officer. I'm not sure what chief, the police chief. Okay, and I was going to say you can email us at radio@kyuk.org, and I think people might have heard about this, but there's two muskox that are stranded on an island off of Macquariac, and they are going to have a hunt, and you can get a permit, and there's only two, so you can get one with the permit. You can call Fish and Game, and they'll be issuing the permit by phone. I don't have the phone number on me. It wasn't in the article, but I was kind of charmed by the ending of the KYUK article by Anna Rose MacArthur, where she wrote that the muskox hitch a ride on an ice floe or walk across the sea ice to one of these nearby islands. I just like the image of muskox hitching rides on ice floes and ending up stranded on an island. So, Grady, do you want to read one of those emails? Because, oh, here we go. I have, an email here that's being loaded. And it's from Delta Western. Delta Western is happy to announce that we are giving corporate discounts again. That's YKHC, ABCP, BNC, ONC, the city employees. Credit and debit cards until Tuesday. We will start accepting cash as of Tuesday. Heating fuel still needs to be ordered by phone. And you can do that at 543-5591. And it looks like they're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 5. And then starting Tuesday, they'll have longer hours. They'll be open at 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Okay, we have a caller, Dave Cannon. Good morning, Dave. Welcome to TalkLine.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Cowskeg situation.
Thank you.
I did talk to DEC folks. And basically, I guess you could say the sewage is treated to some extent. What happens is the solids settle out, and then, the water is pumped out. And there is a high fecal coliform and bacteria count. And the state believes that the mixing zone, which the state's eyes, the solution to pollution is dilution. And in theory, the mixing zone in about a 900-foot stretch should dilute that sewage enough that it's not harmful. Now, the one thing I pointed out to the DEC folks was how close Lower Cowskag is to Upper Cowskag. I don't know if they really knew the situation there. But part of the problem with that dilution is five of the last 10 years we've had very low water this time of year. Now, obviously, the more water to dilute something, the better it is. But when you have very low flows, I've had people tell me when they were dipping for smelt in Lower Cowskag, they could actually smell there was a little bit of a eddy in shallow area upstream where they were fishing, they at times have been able to smell the sewage.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not a good situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person at DEC, she didn't know which village, but she told me there was a similar treatment downriver of Bethel in one of the lower river villages. So that was interesting for me to hear that, too.
Huh. I thought there was some kind of treatment that must go on, but is it adequate? Is it, if you're smelling it, is that an indicator that things aren't going quite as well as they should? I don't know, but.
Yeah, I don't think, it's definitely a good situation. Hopefully, like Herman has pointed out, Upper Kalskag is looking at trying to find some funding to have a better system. But what they do have has been approved by the state.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
So,
well, thank you. Thank you for making that call and giving us some more information. I really appreciate that.
All righty. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to go to, emails. Okay, they aren't callers. I thought there were callers, and I read an email that I thought was to the radio. It said radio on it, but I guess it wasn't. And I've read the different emails. Oh wait, I'm sorry. I'm just having a little bit hard time knowing what an email is to the talk show and what's not. So this is another email, and it's a little bit long, so it's really helpful if you can keep your emails somewhat shorter. I'll go ahead and read this email. It's on COVID-19 funds. Hang on a minute. So Grady, is this email, it's an email to Talkline about the COVID funds? Okay. It says, Diane, good morning. It's been weeks since Congress passed major coronavirus stimulus bills. It's been weeks since Congress passed major coronavirus stimulus bills has helped corporate America and nonprofits. The federal government is not familiar with rural Alaska Native artists that sell arts and crafts to tourists, rural and urban residents. Native arts and crafts artists from rural Alaska are often elders. Many of the Native artists make handcrafted dolls, masks, drums, earrings, gusbucks, etc. They do not earn over $10,000 from sales, $10,000 from sales, and often many do not file 1040 tax forms, thus cannot prove they earn funds from their sales. Now, many cannot file for funds under COVID-19 Act signed into law. Many elder artists sell arts and crafts to make ends meet for their extended families. However, in the U.S., artists can now get a $5,000 unrestricted grant, and they don't even have to put on a dog and pony show to prove their talents. The emergency package has an initial allotment of $10 million for 2,000 grantees. I hope many elder artists can get help from those that understand internet technologies and help our elders get grants available. So if you wanted to help an elder try to access this, it looks like you would go to, I don't have a web page here, but artistsrelief.org. Artistsrelief.org. And there are grants for artists, small grants that you can apply for that are not difficult to apply for. So it sounds like we are coming into a break, and we're going to go ahead and take that break. It's a good time to wash your hands, do a quick wipe down of the environment around you, and join us after the break.
Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
If you're a tribal administrative professional looking for training opportunities, professional support, and additional resources, the Alaska Tribal Administrators Association is here to help you. ATAA offers an outlet to seek and share information, chances to network with content experts and service providers, mentorship opportunities, and so much more. Alaska Tribal Administrators Association is here for you, so you can be there for your community. More information at aktaa.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Tribal Administrators Association.
Jangachit. In challenging times, we are careful to protect our physical health. Don't forget to take care of your mental and emotional health. Contact your local Indian health care provider for more information. Visit healthcare.gov or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Mount Edgecombe High School offers opportunities for advanced education and life learning skills through academic challenges. Fall applications are being accepted through July 1st. More information available at www.mehs.us.
Hey, sweetie, what did you learn in school today?
I learned that the 2020 census counts everyone in the U.S. Where there are more people, there are more needs for things like roads, schools, and hospitals.
I learned that billions in funding goes to communities like ours because of the census. Hundreds of billions.
I learned that the Census Bureau collects data about communities in all states and territories of the U.S.
The Statistics in Schools program teaches preschool to high school students about the importance of a complete count in the 2020 census. A complete count informs federal funding for our communities for the next decade. When newborn babies and children are not counted, support for programs such as health insurance, hospitals, child care, food assistance, schools, and early childhood development is impacted. Statistics in Schools offers free educational materials powered by census data. Shape your future. Start here. Get 2020 census resources at census.gov/schools.
Paid for by the U.S. Census Bureau.
Okay, everyone, welcome back. We have a caller from Bethel, Casey. Good morning, Casey. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Hey, I thought I'd chime in on this very stinky subject of sewage.
You guys probably smell that down where you are.
Well, occasionally, especially on real warm days and depending on which way the wind is blowing.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't know if it's been mentioned yet, but they've been announcing on the radio that I think starting in the next day or two, they're going to be discharging from our lagoon for possibly 2 to 3 weeks, I thought they said. So when they do that, it pretty much just runs down Brown Slough. Maybe that's why they call it Brown Slough. But,
you know what? That's probably true. Yes, that is gonna happen.
And so it would. I know they revamped our sewage lagoon here in the last couple of years. It'd be really nice if somebody that knew really how our system operates up there could call in somebody from the city. And I really don't know, but I know they have different treatment areas of the lagoon that it goes through. But anyway, that thought of somebody from the city is listening that could fill us in on that would be nice. But for the next couple of weeks, don't go swimming in the slough.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be, yeah, you're right. They are going to have, the City of Public Works will be starting the lagoon discharge May 26th. And that's going to last 3 to 4 weeks. So just about the whole month of June. There will be sewage discharge. Now, I don't know what it's like to kayak in there and all that, but geez, there you go.
Yeah, I think I'd avoid it for a month or so.
Oof, okay. Well, thank you, Casey, for that beautiful call and topic.
Okay, thank you, Diane.
All right, have a good day.
Bye.
Bye. All right, we're going to go to, I have an email, but I already read the email. So I'm ahead of you, Grady, in that regard. You may erase that from the board. Yes. Grady wasn't paying attention. But, yes, I read the AC email. All right, so ONC offices are closed today and Monday, and there'll be no senior lunch delivery on Monday in observance of Memorial Day. Next Wednesday, there's a telephonic public hearing scheduled for 6 to 8 at night next Wednesday to receive public testimony on a temporary special action request submitted to the Federal Subsistence Board. So there's a number and passcode. I'll give those out. I don't, you know, sometimes people don't have a pen and paper right there with them. But if you want to participate in the telephonic public hearing scheduled next Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m., with the Federal Subsistence Board, you can call 888-566-1030, and the passcode is 3344-290. But I bet if you call Fish and Game or Fish and Wildlife, they can provide those numbers for you. There'll be a 30-day emergency closure for 2020 Alaska Subsistence Spring Migratory Bird Harvest in the Waikiki Delta. This spring, the spring waterfowl season will be closed beginning May 29th through June 29th. That's a 30-day emergency closure for migratory bird harvest. KYUK's Board of Directors is meeting next Saturday, May 30th at 9 a.m. The meeting is open for the public through teleconference. You can participate by calling 545-5337 for details on how to participate. Subsistence fishing in District W4, Quinnahock, will be restricted to 6-inch mesh or less starting Monday, June 1st. Nets may not exceed 50 fathoms in length and 45 meshes deep. For additional information, contact Alaska Fish and Game here at 543-2331. So our email is open. You can email us at radio@kyuk.org, and you can also call us. Our lines are open, 543-5985, 543-2756, and 1-800-995-8954. And as you know, you can email radio@kyuk.org. We'll read your email over the air. And for both your email and your phone messages, you can be anonymous if you're kind of a shy person. And
while we are on the subject, though, can we tell people, because sometimes we have a long email come in like that one, and it's hard for you to manage it. So if you could give people the kind of guidelines there while I answer this call.
Oh, yeah. So when you send in an email, see, if you send in an email that's very, very long, it is sometimes hard to keep all the information, you know, fresh for people in their minds. So if you can keep the emails a little bit direct and to the point, that can be helpful when they're being read over the air. So I'm going to go to a caller from Bethel. Alex. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning. How are you? I heard you talk about the sewer lagoon being flushed.
Yes.
And I think Casey brought that up. I know it takes 4 weeks for it to get through the brown slough, I suppose, but how dangerous is it for the Kuskokwim River? I mean, I'm just curious.
I know. Well, you know what they say, the release, the lagoon discharge, whatever's discharged has been treated. So technically it's not a contaminating thing. And the other thing is that it gets flushed into a large amount of water through Brown Slough and then through the Kuskokwim River. And by getting diluted like that additionally is supposed to lower any risk. So you can take that anyway. I mean, I don't know all details about it, but that's what the information that I know. I do know that it smells pretty strong, so it's...
Yes, it does, even on a windy day.
Yeah.
Coming from that area.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention, too, I know, I'm not sure what part of the brown slough it affects at that time, because the further up you go, I don't think it affects that area, correct?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Past the bridge, all the way up, there's some beaver dams up there, but also I've seen small pike and luscious swimming around back there in the springtime.
Ooh.
Or whenever they're during the summer, you see them.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, what part of the slough does it affect when they
release it.
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. I'm not sure
all
about
right.
the details. Thank you,
okay,
Alex.
I appreciate it. You're welcome. Bye.
Those are good questions. So if anybody has more detail on sewage release, Dave Cannon called earlier about some of what he learned calling the DEC about how the solids themselves settle and the overflow of sewage is treated, and that liquid is then discharged into this, in our case, the slough, which goes into the Kuskokwim River, and it becomes very diluted. So anyway, that's that. So a couple of more Tundra Drum announcements. Are you an incoming or returning college student looking for a scholarship? The application period for the Bethel Community Services Foundation Mary Pete Legacy Scholarship and the John Active Memorial Scholarship is open till June 1st, so there's another week for you to apply. For more information, you can go to a website, bcsfoundation.org, and there's a scholarships tab that you click on, and that will direct you to those scholarships in the application. If you're interested in those scholarships, you can also call 543-1812, and the application materials can be mailed or faxed to you. So we have an anonymous call from Anchorage. Good morning, anonymous Anchorage.
Good morning. I've been listening this morning, and I just want to make sure those people know that our Republicans, especially a guy from ANIAC, you guys need to get your facts straight. Senate Bill 21 was voted by the people of Alaska, and it passed. But it wasn't supposed to go to the people. When Governor Parnell was the governor, he had Kevin Myers and another representative, Pete from Soldatna, voting on it, even though they had ties to the oil companies. So it shouldn't have even went to the people to vote. It's unconstitutional, as a doctor in Alaska said. Now, when you smell the lagoon, you can think of a Republican, because they're giving $1.2 billion a year to the oil companies from our own resources, and the Democrats are the ones that were trying to get most of that money back to the people. And that's wrong. Now they're trying to have it so the people, there's actually a Democrat and Republican working together to see if the state could own that, process the oil so most of the money goes to the people. It's not happening now, and it won't until that's done, because all the money is going to the oil, big businesses that are from different countries. Mm. So they're just giving all our money, all our resources to big companies. So when you see these commercials made by these big companies, they're just doing it to sweeten your tooth. Happy Memorial Day. The other thing I'd like to bring up is the fisheries. Everybody's talking about the fisheries.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I listened to the scientists talk, including Mary, during AFN here in Anchorage a couple years ago. And I gave them an article, I believe from Delta Discovery, mm-hmm. that the Japanese researchers already back in 1996 already knew that the pods, the microscopic food that the wild birds eat, were being eaten by the chum salmon. If you think about it, all the hatcheries are mostly chum salmon because they're 2 year cycle in the ocean. It's just about money. And what bothers me is we have the Kuskokwim fisheries. Those guys, when their fisheries crashed, they got millions funding for the fisheries, even though it's just the hatcheries fisheries. They finally refound Chignik. The village of Chignik is like Abyssal Bay fisheries. They're for red salmon. They finally closed the bay in Kodiak because those reds were heading to Chignik because they were catching them all in Kodiak in a bay there. So they finally closed that. Now, I'd like to see
all our tribes get together and ask. I've talked about trawlers in the past. They've been killing all our fish in the ocean all these years. That's a gross mismanagement. My neighbor's a trawler captain, and he saw me with my seal in my yard. He came to go look at it, and he says, these are his exact words. You name it, we catch it. Bowhead whale, killer whale, walrus, seals, all the salmon. All the salmon species. You name it, we catch it. So since 1991, they've been doing that. Now, to me, that's gross mismanagement. There was also a state biologist that retired early last year that said that they're releasing too many fish out in the ocean. That's why all those birds are dying off in the ocean, the ocean birds. And you hear thousands and thousands of them dying because all those fish are eating the same food that the birds eat. And one last thing I'd like to bring up is the state of Alaska had an auditor, and this Republican administration refused to have the auditor audit the oil and gas industry. Now, when you smell the gun, think of that. The Republicans don't want it to be audited because there's something fishy going on, because they know all the money went to the oil companies. And people say, vote Republican. But we need to get their facts together. And I just got a letter up on the recall on Dunleavy. That's the same Republican. He's Republican. So when you guys smell a lagoon, think about a Democrat that's going to change things. Come on. Do it right. Okay. Thank you. Have a nice weekend. Bye.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We're going to go to Cesari for round two. Yes, Cesari.
Yeah.
I thought now on the last call you said you felt good.
Yeah, I feel really good.
Do you still have a little more? Do you have a little more to work out?
Yeah, a little bit more. Really. If you want to see what the chemicals, what the you're treating the sewer, and you're treating with the chemicals, with the cure the bacteria to prevent the hepatitis, all kind. For the human safe, but what they do to the fish, you don't need scientists. You have a little aquarium with little fish. Give them that freaking water from the river right below when the brown through exit to the river. Get water that treated water and put to your aquarium and see what that thing do to the fish in the aquarium. I tell you, with 10 hours, all of them dead.
Oh, my.
I get one time water, we're getting blackfish. It was years back. There was the time when a few years back. And I put the bucket, grab bucket water from the river, and the freaking blackfish died. Normally I get from the sink that is in the bucket for weeks, and from the river that thing die.
Darn.
So you know they never die the sewer. They would make them die. There was the chemicals were they killing the bacteria. If they're killing the bacteria, they're killing the fish. There is a tiny spawning fish, which is so fragile. They have yolk inside, drifting down to the river, and that thing have to pass the city of Bethel. So that's what it is. The gentlemen with the talking and crying about those Republicans, you know, the Sullivan give for art sewer treatment millions for upgrade the lagoon in there. They should give them, but put the money to the sewer treatment and facility closed. We know smell it. We know damage the river, and we feel much more comfortable now smelling that thing every 4 times a year in summertime. And easy to say, yeah, Republicans maybe invest money with the businesses, and the Democrats getting to own pocket. This is what I say. Have a good
day.
Okay.
Well, you have a better day.
I always have a good day.
I know, you do sound like you do. Okay,
I
good.
I always have a good day. Thank you. Have a, enjoy the sunset.
Thank you. All right, bye. Yeah. Okay. We have another caller, Yvonne Waska from Bethel. Good morning, Yvonne. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Is it hot today? Smell the lagoon there?
it's like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Go on to that man from Anchorage. Thank God for straightening him up. Look down at him.
Uh-huh.
What they're bickering about Calscake for? You guys want to smell a lagoon? There's one in Bethel right there.
Yeah.
I live in Brown Slough.
Oh, no.
Look at all the big cities all over the USA. They all dump them in the ocean and press their garbage.
Uh-huh.
Well, our sewer goes out in the ocean anyway, but it's been like that, and it's no good to be bickering about our, one of our neighboring villages and our people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I thank that man for straightening him out, but...
All right. Yeah.
But anyway, we're on for the governor and the legislator on people getting their dividends in July. And it lightens up the heart, and because our people are getting laid off, and should ease up the worry and on bills and. I thank them for that. But anyway, I feel they should open up kingfishing. We've been closed long enough, especially during this time.
Uh-huh.
All the kids are home now, and a long time till July 1st when the PFCs come out. And growing up, that salmon goes a long way, and I remember that was the only thing we had for dinner more than once in the evening. When we all sit on the floor, I remember eating that king salmon Dreyfus. And that was our main food source until these people, not my people, they say they're dwindling out. I still need to hear an elder say that to me.
Yeah.
People come to my land and waters and cause this, break our culture up and our identity. That was a big blow on us. It still is. And I believe due to this COVID-19, I believe they should open up. What angers me the most is the Mainquid people are rotting, reading, doing their King Salmon Derby, gearing up for King Salmon, commercial King Salmon fishing. While me and my people have our hands tied and we got to wait for opening. And due to this high water, we can't go out yet. But anyway, I'm more on a lighter note. Memorial Day Monday, and thanks to our men and women that served, my hat's off to them. Those are living and those that passed on. We're on a jacket. May the good Lord bless and keep us safe from this sickness. Good morning.
All right. Good morning. We have probably our last call for the day is David from Tuluksac. Good morning, David.
Yeah, good morning. This is David. I'll try my best to say English. I usually talk in Yupik. Maybe Monday we can have a memorial. We usually clean up, eat. I don't know this year, because you never see nothing there in Tuluksac.
Mm-hmm.
But he might. But it's good to be memories, like our dad and uppas and aunties and grandmas, uncles, needs everything. I like to say it's a high water right now. Those floating woods are dangerous, especially to those handheld steering, electric. They're dangerous because they're not like this. When they hit that electric thing, like hand steering, they're dangerous. Because I have one, I've been hitting one, and it slipped off my hand. Lucky, I was turning. Lucky, even I was hurting my knee, I look at these kids and my wife. I try to take that handle. Lucky I take it.
Wow.
So make sure they always watch front of them. There's woods, and these electric things are dangerous. Those steerings, they're better. But these electric hand things are dangerous. You know, if they hit, they could fly off. So make sure they wear flotation, even short ways. We don't know what will happen. Okay, that's all I want to say to the people. I know the where I seen one, but I don't see. Some don't wear flotation.
Right.
Okay.
Well, thank you, David.
I got nothing to say. Especially to my cousins, all my cousins. They're in Delta. Maybe they stand up and smile. I like to tease. He teased back. Okay, good morning.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. All right, we have an email from Anonymous. The email goes like this. Good morning. I have noticed a lot of ATV traffic by young teenagers. I have seen some of these drivers going way over the speed limit in various parts of town, which is not good, and they should get pulled over and fined for speeding. I'm curious if any of these drivers have permits or driver's license to be driving these ATVs. It is my hope that the Bethel Police Department would start pulling these young kids over and checking if they have a permit or license to drive and cite them if they are speeding. None of them wear helmets. It is also my hope that parents would talk to their kids about riding safely, obeying speed limits, and not passing cars illegally. That is endangering the people in the car as well as themselves. Thank you. Yes, I noticed that too. And boy, do they kick up a lot of dust when they speed down the highway. And then sometimes there's like three or four. They're all just piled up on that. No helmets. Having a crazy time, I guess. But scary, because I always think they're going to swerve or kick up a lot of gravel. Anyway, we're the VFW ceremony that would normally happen and cookout that would normally happen during Memorial Day weekend is not. There will be no VFW ceremony and cookout this year. And so I think that's going to wrap up our show for today. Thank you for bearing with a little technical ups and downs in the very beginning of the show. Really appreciate your patience with that. Thank you, everyone, for calling, for the emails. That's what keeps the show going is you and what you have to say, what you want to share with everyone. And I really appreciate people sharing in a way that's respectful and strong to your point of view. No problem with that. And I hope everyone has a really nice weekend. It's a good time to notice some woolly lousewort, which is a pink flower. It's kind of a little high on a little stalk. There's also mini azaleas, which are the tiny pink flowers, and there's usually lots of them. They're like in a little mini carpet. You might also notice bog rosemary, and that's a little flower that looks like a tiny pink bell. And so those are the three main flowers you're going to find on the tundra right now, and then you're going to start seeing some tundra tea white flowers, and then you're going to see some cranberry blossoms, some blueberry blossoms, candlestick orchid. We have an orchid, the sundew, which is a little carnivore. It's like a little Venus flytrap. It's really a cool plant. So anyway, all of that is coming. It's very exciting to walk on the tundra. If you ever see me out there, I'm always looking at my feet. the whole time because I find the plants on the ground to be fascinating. All these years later, they still delight me. So I hope you have that experience yourself if you go out and about this weekend. And have a nice weekend. That's it.
Express yourself.